Okay, I think we're going to go ahead and get started. Again, my name is Kimberly Williams, and I am the Outreach and Recruitment Officer for the Sub-Saharan Africa region. So for today's webinar, we're going to have a virtual advising session. So for about the first 30 minutes, I'll be doing a walkthrough of the application and the different components. And for the last 30 minutes, we will have a Q&A session. So if you can please type your questions into the question box. And before you really get started, if you wouldn't mind typing in the question box, just let me know that you can see my screen fine and you can hear my voice, and we can get started. Okay, perfect. So again, we'll have the last 30 minutes allocated for the Q&A session, but you can go ahead and type your questions in the box now. Before we get started, I'd like to take a few minutes to discuss our mission and our history. So established in 1946 by Congress, Fulbright is a cultural exchange program sponsored by the U.S. Department of State. And in partnership with 160 countries, Fulbright offers faculty, administrators, and professionals opportunities to study, teach, and conduct research abroad. Our mission, which is to foster mutual understanding between nations, advance knowledge across communities, and improve lives around the world, is really the heart of Fulbright. Diversity and inclusion is at the forefront of our mission. Fulbright strives to ensure that the program reflects the diversity within U.S. society. We are actively recruiting diverse pools of applicants from a variety of institutions to include community colleges, minority-serving institutions, and rural institutions. As stated on the screen, opportunities are open to people regardless of their race, color, national origin, sex, age, religion, geographic location, socioeconomic status, disability, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Fulbright by the numbers. So the Fulbright program funds over 8,000 awards annually. But for the purpose of today's webinar, we fund about 800 U.S. scholars and administrators. And if selected for the Fulbright program, you become a part of our vast network of alumni, which is currently 390,000. So let's talk about eligibility for the U.S. Scholar Program. So basic eligibility for the Fulbright Program includes U.S. citizenship, degree and experience is as required by the specific award, and for prior recipients of the Fulbright Program, you are allowed to reapply after a two-year waiting period. And application components. So there is our application form, which is available on our website. Other requirements are going to be your project statement, and the project statement goes into further detail about the grant activity you're proposing. There are different components of this project statement, and we're going to talk a little bit further in detail once we do the website walkthrough. There is your CV or resume. Something that's new this year are the two letters of recommendation. So one of the letters should be internal to your current institution or organization, and one should be external that can speak towards your teaching and or research skills. There is the language proficiency report if required, and if it is required, we do have instructions on the website of what that should consist of. Again, we're going to do a walkthrough. And then there's the letter of invitation if required. Within the award, it will state if the letter of invitation if required. And I always recommend, even if it is optional or preferred, that applicants try their best to secure these letters of invitation. This year we have extended the deadline for the letters of invitation only. So I just want to make it clear, the application deadline is still Tuesday, September 15th. However, the deadline for letters of invitation has been extended until October 15th, so it gives applicants an extra 30 days to try to secure the letters of invitation. And supplemental materials that are required are the course outlines, a syllabi for teaching, select bibliography for research, portfolio submissions for artists, architects, and journalists. So again, discussing the project statement. So something that's new, as of about a week ago, we have our project statement guidance video. And the video goes into great detail about how to craft a competitive project statement. But also within your project statement, you're going to, as I stated earlier, describe your proposed project within 3 to 5 pages. And you really want to focus on what you plan to do, the specific courses that you plan to teach, and the goals of your research. And again, I wanted to point out this project statement, again, is 3 to 5 pages. And there are other page requirements for the different components within the application. We'll walk through where to find that information from. And finally, in your project statement, you want to explain the anticipated impact of your awards on not just your hosts, but your home institution and yourself. Within the application, there are supplemental questions. The first is, why Fulbright? And so I did want to point that there is a limit of 1,000 characters. You also want to answer why that particular country you're applying to, how adaptable are you, how well will you deal with challenging situations, and how will you adapt your materials for your host culture. So understanding the awards, again, we're going to do a thorough walkthrough, but this just gives you an idea of what the typical award looks like. So awards vary greatly, but this is the basic format. You have your 4 tabs at the top, so award details, award requirements, stipend and benefits, and country and area overview. So affiliations and invitations. As I stated earlier, a letter of invitation may or may not be required. If it is required, obviously, that's something that you must secure. If it is optional or preferred, again, you want to try the best to secure it if possible. But a little more information about what the letter of invitation is. It's a non-binding expression of interest from your proposed host abroad. It should come from a person in which you will be collaborating with, and it should be on the host institution's letterhead. And so you are making contact with the potential host institution, and I always recommend that applicants send their CV, a link to the particular award that they are interested in applying to, and a brief description of what their interests are in their proposed projects to any appropriate faculty member, department chair, or dean, and you're inquiring if there is an interest in what you're proposing. If so, you can proceed with requesting the letter of invitation. It will be sent directly to you, and from there you can upload it to your application. So at this time, if you can bear with me, we're going to do a walkthrough of the different components of the application and the awards. So I'm just going to pause my screen so that I can get to the website. Okay, so here I am at our website of CIES.org. And so I'm going to scroll down. I'm going to explore the U.S. Scholar Program. Again, this gives you a very general overview of the program. The second tab is eligibility. And the third tab is going to be your application. So if we're scrolling down, there are a number of links that you can select. You can select register your interest in My Fulbright, which I do recommend. If you're registering for My Fulbright, you'll get periodic notifications about awards and different webinars that we have regarding the Sub-Saharan Africa region. You can also review eligibility and the application checklist, download application instructions, and finally the application itself. But if you're scrolling down, you can see all of the application components and their requirements. So I'm going to start with the project statement. So again, I mentioned the project statement guidance video. So you can simply select that link. And we have a video that gives you a better idea about how to craft a competitive project statement. So I'm going to hit my back button. And so if I scroll down, I can see what needs to be addressed in the project statement. So again, it's what you're proposing to do, how you propose to do it, why the project is important, and what some of the benefits are of the project and what it will produce for your host, your discipline, you and your home institution or employer. And if you scroll further down, depending on your grant activity selected for the award, there are additional areas that should be discussed. So it's categorized by teaching. If you scroll down, research, and then the combination for teaching and research. And if you scroll down a little further, it gives you the formatting requirements. So this is very important. So as you can see, you have 3 to 5 pages for the project statement. It needs to be single-spaced, 12-point or larger, and it further goes into additional requirements of how it should be formatted. If you scroll down a little further for your short essay questions, you may find yourself repeating different pieces of your project statement when answering the short essay questions. But again, this gives you a little further detail of what is to be expected. So I'm going to scroll up, hit my back button. Okay, I'm going back to the application, scrolling down. So then we have our CV and resume requirements, recommendation letters. I'm going to click on this. So if you have not already started your application, I do encourage you to begin, even if you don't have your letters of invitation or if you're not yet ready to start your project statement. There's biographical data that you can enter, and most importantly, you want to register your recommenders in your application. So if you are going into the online application and you're registering your recommenders, they will receive a computer-generated link so that they can upload your letter of recommendation at their leisure. And again, the application deadline is September 15th, so you want to give them as much time as possible to get that done. But this gives you a little bit more information about who can serve as your recommender. Then you can scroll down a little bit more. Here's information for your recommenders. So if you wanted to maybe link this information to your recommenders ahead of time, this way they know what to put into your letter of recommendation. And I also suggest to applicants to put a link to the award that you're interested in applying to into an email to your recommender so that they are well aware of the award that you're applying to. And you want them to be able to maybe draw correlations between whatever the grant activities or requirements listed in the award to maybe something that they're aware of that you've engaged in your professional career. So that's a great way to get them involved. Again, there are some formatting requirements, so you'll want to send them a link to this as well. So I'm going to scroll up, and I'm going to go back to the application. And for those that fall into the discipline of arts, there are some portfolio requirements. I'm going to click on those. And so this gives a little bit more information about the disciplines that commonly require a portfolio. So as you can see, architecture, creative writing, dance, filmmaking, journalism. And if we're scrolling down, portfolios may consist of graphic designs, prints, maps, etc. And so this is also very important if you fall into this discipline. There are some page limit requirements. So for audio and video files, you have up to 30 minutes in total. And for writing samples, you have up to 15 pages. So from here, I'm going to go back. And again, going back to the application, we pretty much covered all of the different components for the application, but I'd also like to point you to a couple of other important areas. So for the letter of invitation, I'm often asked if we have a template for letters of invitation or even the letters of recommendation, and we don't. For the letters of recommendation, I did just show the links that you can share with your recommenders if they wanted to know what exactly to include in the letters. But for the letter of invitation, we link you to how to develop contacts abroad. Often applicants may or may not have existing contacts with the region within a region, and they're wondering how do they develop them. So this is great information. I'm going to click on it, on how to develop contacts. And again, if we scroll down, we discussed the letter of invitation. So you may see wording that states a letter of invitation is required, it may be preferred, it's optional, and then in some cases you may actually see a letter of invitation should not be sought, and in this case you should not seek a letter of invitation. But this gives you a little bit more information on how to request the letter of invitation. And again, I always recommend sending your CV, brief description, link to the award, and brief description of what you're proposing to do to inquire if there is an interest. And again, there aren't any specific requirements for the letters, but this gives you some information that you can maybe copy and paste to your potential host, especially if they are a new host and they're not quite familiar with the process. So just for your knowledge, what needs to be in there are the activities that you're planning to engage in, so teaching and your research, the time period for which you are invited, and a description of the host's interest in your project and how it will impact their institution. So again, it should be on university letterhead. The deadline has been extended until October 15th, and it will be sent directly to you, and you can upload it directly to your application. So at this point, I'm going to go home, and we're going to walk through a typical award within Sub-Saharan Africa. So I do want to stress every award is different, the formatting is the same, but for those of you that are new to the process, I just want to walk through the award to show you what to look for. So again, we're at our homepage of CIES.org. I'm going to scroll down to explore U.S. Scholar Program. I'm going to select the awards catalog. And again, there are a number of ways you can filter and search our awards catalog. You can search by Sub-Saharan Africa, a specific country within the region, or you can search by discipline. But for the purpose of this, we're going to search for all of Sub-Saharan Africa. And so once you are within the region, you can further filter if you'd like by country, discipline, activity, grant length, degree requirement, candidate profile, or invitation letter. So for the purpose of this, we'll further filter the activity. We'll select teaching and research. And I'm going to search awards. And this further filtered it just a bit. So for the purpose of this, we can search Ghana. So this particular award is an all disciplines award. Above that, you'll see the award number. And as we discussed through the walkthrough, you have your four tabs. Under award details, you'll find the grant activity that's available. In this case, they're seeking U.S. scholars to teach undergrad and or grad courses. In this section, again, each award varies, but in this section, you may find what the teaching load may be, so it may be 50-50. It could be something else. But this is not determined by Fulbright. This will be determined per the award or the institution. So if you're not seeing what the teaching load is, you will want to reach out to the institution directly. Grant length is going to be listed here. Typically, awards in sub-Saharan Africa are between 6 and 10 months. You may find some that are a little shorter. For example, Uganda is one that you can go for as little as 3 months. But you can further filter out the awards catalog to find awards that suit your needs. And I do want to point out that unfortunately you aren't able to deviate from the listed grant lengths. For example, in this particular case, if you weren't available for at minimum 6 months, you wouldn't be eligible for the award. Same thing with the grant lengths. Typically with grant dates, they are driven by the institutional calendars. I know that a lot of faculty are generally looking for grants that will allow them to go during the summer. And it really all depends on the award, but typically the soonest that you can start your grant is going to be August of 2021. In the location section, you will find a list in some cases or some sort of language that gives you an idea of what your institutional opportunities, options are. Each award differs. In this particular case, they give you a short list of institutions. Some awards may give you a very comprehensive list. Others may indicate any appropriate institution. And so let's say you're interested in this award, but none of the three institutions seem like options for you. I can show you a place on our website that can give you a little more information about what some of your institutional options are. We'll do that a little later. The flex option is generally given for research awards where you have 2 consecutive years to complete, and you have the options of doing several trips throughout the year. That's not an option that is available for this particular award. So discipline type, again, this is an all disciplines award that is open to applications in all disciplines. Sometimes in this section there may be priorities listed for certain disciplines, so it's very imperative to read all 4 tabs of the award. Special feature section is where any special features for the award is going to be listed. In this particular case, they are offering housing. That is not the case for every award, but this is an added bonus. And if I can point your attention to the right-hand side, again, application deadline is Tuesday, September 15th. The grant activity is teaching and research. Degree requirements, a PhD or other terminal degrees are required. Candidate profile, so you can see that it's open to academics only, and of all levels, including early career. And the number of grants is approximate. It could be less, it could be more, but it's approximately 5. And for all of Sub-Saharan Africa, I will be your program staff person. So you can either call me, you can email me here. And I don't want to get too off track, but I do offer office hours every Wednesday between 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we had one today. I offer them every Wednesday and will do so until the application deadline. So I want to take you here really quickly. So if you select join an office hour, it will take you to the office hour page, and if you scroll down, you'll see Sub-Saharan Africa, and if you click on it, it's a very quick form. You want to put your email address, first and last name. It's in the GoToMeeting format, or platform. It's an opportunity for you to ask questions, pretty general questions about the application process, or anything about the competition. So it isn't a group setting, but it's a great way to ask questions because some of the other questions you may not have thought of are being asked by your peers. So I'm going to go back. Okay, so if we're going to award requirements, here you'll find whether or not the letter of invitation is required. In this case, it is preferred. So any additional information regarding the award will be listed in this section here. There aren't any language proficiency requirements. Additional information section usually just gives you helpful links for the institutions that are listed. Okay, if we go to our third tab over, this is the stipend and benefits. So this gives you a general range of what the stipends and allowances look like. If we're scrolling down, you'll also see what the estimated travel and relocation allowances are, if there are any estimated book or research allowances, and dependent and tuition allowances. So for sub-Saharan Africa, they are pretty generous, so you have up to $12,500 per child or $25,000 per family. And we do encourage scholars to bring their families. Fulbright is very family friendly. And finally, in the country and area overview, it really all depends on the award. Typically, this section gives information about the country and the educational system. And so I'm going to take us back to our home page to show you one more thing. So a lot of times we are asked questions, what are some of the universities that I can affiliate with within the country, especially if a list is not provided. So I always point applicants to our scholar directory for a number of reasons. Our scholar directory holds all of our alumni information for the past 10 years. So this is a great way to filter it by country to see what some of the institutional options are based on where our alumni have gone in the country over the past 10 years. It's also a great place to get institutional information if your award is asking for something specific. For example, with South Africa, they're looking for applicants that are proposing to go to more rural areas, disadvantaged institutions or institutions that haven't hosted on a consecutive basis or have ever hosted. So this is a great way to find some of that information. So I'm going to select View the Scholar Directory. And so you always want to make sure you select U.S. Scholar and not our visiting scholar. You want to select Advanced Filters, and for the purpose of this, we're going to look at Kenya, and I'm going to select Search. So this will pull up all of our alumni's information for the past 10 years, and again, I like to select academic years so it puts it in order. So I can see all of the host institutions that our alumni have affiliated with over the past 10 years. And it's not limited to academic institutions. So if there are any organizations, NGOs, nonprofits, they'll all appear here. And so let's click on a scholar. So if you click on the scholar's name, again, you'll see their host institution, information about their home institutions, and information about their grants. So you can see, of course, the program country is Kenya. The grant type is teaching and research. You can see their start and end date and their project title. So I wanted to point out again, unfortunately, we don't have any templates for project titles, and project statements, and we do not have access to any Fulbrighter's project statements. But if you wanted to reach out to this person, while we don't have direct contact information, you could look up their home institution, so University of Connecticut, maybe look up their institutional directory and search them that way. You can also search them on Google or LinkedIn. But if I'm going back, so let's say I was looking at an award for Kenya, and they've specifically stated they're looking for applicants that are interested in going to institutions that haven't hosted a scholar, let's say, on a consecutive basis. So I'm interested in Moi University, so I'm going to copy Moi University. I'm going to go to Advanced Filters. I'm going to select Moi as my host institution and search. So again, I like to see it in order. So I can see that Moi institution, they've hosted a nice bit, but it hasn't been on a consecutive basis. So if the award that I'm applying to for Kenya stated they're looking for applicants proposing institutions where scholars haven't been, you know, on a consecutive basis, this may be a good fit. So again, you can scroll through, see how often institutions are hosting Fulbright scholars. So again, I wanted to just backtrack a little and show you how I got there. So I'm on our homepage of CIES.org. Underneath the graphic, you'll see view the Fulbright Scholar Directory. If you click on that, you are able to further filter. So at this point, I wanted to begin taking questions. So if you can bear with me while I toggle back to the presentation. Okay, so I will begin answering your questions, if you can bear with me. Okay, let's see. And I do apologize, in an interest of time, I'm not able to answer specific questions to your particular situation. So I do encourage you to either join an office hour, which are held on Wednesdays between 11 and 12 Eastern Standard Time, or you can contact me at Sub-Saharan Africa at IIE.org, and we can discuss your questions there, or we can set up an advising appointment. So if you can bear with me, I'm opening the questions. Okay. Okay, so the first question is it okay to repeat ideas and language from the short answer questions in the body of the project statement? And absolutely. So you'll find yourself, when you're answering those questions in the application, you'll find yourself repeating some of the information in your project statement. But the information in your project statement, it's going to go in a lot further detail, so it's fine if you find yourself repeating some of that information. And in terms of specific components that should be included in the project statement, so that is going to be on the website where I, you know, pointed you to, but just to give you a little bit of information. So you're going to discuss your grant activity in great detail. And you really want to touch on what the impacts are going to be for the host institution, for yourself, and your home institution. You also want to discuss how you plan to really nurture the relationships and contacts that you're building abroad, whether it's going to be utilizing one of our institutional opportunities with Fulbright to maybe bring scholars over through the Fulbright program to your home institutions, or for our scholars that are currently in the U.S., you could invite them for very short-term lectureship series. A lot of times our applicants propose some sort of exchange of students between their home institutions and host institutions. So those are just a couple of ideas to mention in your project statement. Okay, scrolling down. Okay, let's see. So again, for your letters of invitation, it's going to be sent directly to you. So you're reaching out to the institution with your CV, a brief description of what you're proposing to do, a link to the award, and you're inquiring if there's an interest in what you're proposing. If there is, you can request the letter of invitation. It's going to be sent directly to you, and you are uploading it directly to your application. Now, in terms of the letters of recommendation, you're going to register your recommenders in your application. That's why I recommend going ahead and starting the application as soon as possible, because they will receive a computer-generated link to complete your letter of recommendation, and they're going to upload it. But you want to give them as much time as possible to write the letter of recommendation. So it is pretty imperative to start the application as soon as possible. You are eligible to reapply for Fulbright. There just has to be a two-year waiting period. And I see some questions, several questions about the Fulbright Specialist Program. The Fulbright Specialist Program is administered through World Learning and not IIE. It is very short-term, between 2 and 6 weeks. You are eligible to apply for the Fulbright Scholar Program while you are on the Fulbright Specialist roster. Okay, so if you can bear with me, I'm just reading some of these questions. Okay, unfortunately, you are not able to complete more than one application. You can select multiple countries, but you can only select multiple countries under the Africa Regional Research Program. And this is a program where you're conducting solely research, and you can select up to three countries. There is also the Global Scholar Award. You are able to select several countries within multiple world regions, so you would only be able to select one country within sub-Saharan Africa, but essentially this is all one application. Okay, so let's see. Okay. If you can bear with me, I just want to make sure I'm not answering questions that were previously answered. Okay, so I see a lot of questions about the letters of invitation and how you go about making contacts. And there are a number of ways you can do it. One way I think is often overlooked. Within the body of the award, some awards actually include contacts within the embassy and the country, program officers, for example, that you can contact directly to help you with securing the letter of invitation. So the first thing you should do is read the award, all four tabs, to make sure your award does include a contact person for the embassy abroad. So if it does, you're free to reach out to that person and ask if they have contact information for a specific institution, but you definitely want to check and see if that information is in the body of the award. Also, sometimes there is contact information listed for each institution, the contact persons for securing your letter of invitation. So try that. If that doesn't work, you can, again, use institutional directories. You can also use our scholar directory to find alumni that are in your, or a similar discipline that have affiliated with institutions of interest, and you can see if they have any contacts. So it is at their discretion, but our alumni are great at assisting applicants. Okay, let's see. So host institutions do not have to be limited to academic institutions, but the first thing you should do is just read the award to see if that is an option. If it is not explicitly clear, you can email subsaharanafricaiie.org to inquire whether or not a potential host is going to be appropriate, because there will be times that you may have a host in mind and they aren't explicitly listed in the award, or it's not an academic institution and you want to be sure. And that's fine if you email me at, again, subsaharanafrica@iie. That way I can work with program management and they can work with the in-country contacts to determine whether or not this is going to be an appropriate host. Okay, let's see. Okay, so unfortunately, we are not able to review project statements and get feedback or any other components of the application, as this is a competition. I do see a couple of questions about sending in the project statement for feedback, so unfortunately, we would not be able to give you feedback at all. But there is a technical review that will be conducted in September on every application to just ensure the basic components of the application are present. Okay. There are a couple of questions about financial costs to institutions. So this question comes up a lot, especially if you are in contact with an institution that has never hosted a scholar. One of the first questions you may receive is if there is a financial cost to the institution to host you, and absolutely not. There's not a financial cost whatsoever. And again, for you as the scholar, there isn't a financial cost for you to apply for the Fulbright program or to affiliate with an institution. Okay, so I have a question about housing. It's not expected for the institution to provide housing. However, as a courtesy, there are some institutions that will provide housing, and typically it's going to be listed in the special comment section. So again, just make sure you're reading all four tabs because sometimes the information can be buried. Oftentimes, I find that whether or not housing is an option and maybe embassy contacts are sometimes buried within pages. So you just want to make sure you're checking all four tabs. Questions about alternative start dates. So again, the dates and grant length, you're not able to deviate from that. So if your grant length is between 6 to 10 months, you would have to at least be available for 6 months. I do encourage you to use our awards catalog to filter by duration so that you can find something that best meets your needs. And again, with the start date, typically the dates are driven by the academic calendars. So if the term or semester starts in October and the award states that the grant begins in October, it would be very unlikely to have an August start date. So definitely pay attention to the duration and start dates within the award. Okay, just scrolling down. Okay, so actually Fulbright is very family friendly. I see a couple of questions about bringing dependents with you. We absolutely invite you to bring your dependents. As we discussed previously, there are tuition benefits for dependents that are within the K through 12 age range. So definitely take a look at that. That is one of the added benefits. I have some questions about the office hours. So office hours, again, are going to be held every Wednesday between 11 and 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The easiest way to access the office hour form, you can look in any award for Sub-Saharan Africa. On the right-hand side, you will see Join an Office Hour. If you select that, you want to scroll down to Sub-Saharan Africa. And again, it's just a little bit of information. We collect your name and email address, which allows you to click a link to log in. So I do encourage you to come. You can ask questions, or you can sit back and just observe. A lot of times, it's a great place to come because a lot of the same questions are asked, or you know, a colleague or a peer may have a question that you may not have thought of. So I do encourage everyone to come to the office hours and just listen if no questions are required at that time. Okay, so I'm just scrolling down to read a few more questions. So I see some more specific questions about bringing dependent school options. So what happens is if you are selected for Fulbright, you are assigned an advisor. And this advisor would be able to point you in the direction of what some schooling options would be for your dependents. They would go through the logistics of your grant, orientation, and things of that nature. So unfortunately, those things aren't really addressed on the recruitment side. So if you are selected, there'll be ample time for you to discuss some of your concerns with a advisor, and you can go into the specifics as well. Okay, let's see. Okay, so I have a lot of questions as well about our scholar directory. And the easiest way to get to our scholar directory is from our homepage at CIES.org. You'll see the graphic that says, I believe, competition now open. If you're looking right under there, it should be the third tab under that. You'll see our scholar directory. If you're selecting that, always make sure you're selecting U.S. Scholar. You want to click on Advanced Filters and type in the country that you are interested in seeing alumni for. This is also a great question. So if you have not completed your PhD, are you still eligible to apply? And so You are eligible to apply. However, you will have to have had your degree conferred by February 1st to qualify for awards that require terminal degrees. Now, there are some awards that are available that do not require a terminal degree. The best way to know which ones are available is to use our awards catalog and filter it out by degree requirements. You can select non-terminal degrees and you will see all award opportunities that are available for applicants without terminal degrees. But I'd also like to point out you're still eligible for the student program. So if you don't have a terminal degree at the time of application, you are eligible for the student program. So I do encourage you to take a look at some of those programs as well, and Sub-Saharan Africa is an option. Okay, question about sample project statements. So unfortunately, we do not provide sample project statements. A suggestion could be potentially reaching out to the alum and maybe asking if you can get some feedback on your project statement. Again, this would be at their discretion, but that's an option. You could utilize our scholar directory to find an alum within the region that you're interested in going to. And again, you can use their institutional directory to get their contact information to ask some additional questions and for feedback. Okay, let's see. So I see some questions about stipends and salaries. So if you're looking at your award, it's going to be the third tab over that says stipend and benefits. Again, it's going to be a range. You wouldn't find out what the exact stipend would be until you are selected for the program. And again, these are conversations to have with your advisor if you are selected for the program. But it gives you a general range. Okay, let's see. Okay, so I have a question about the degree requirements. If you do not have the degree requirements, but you have a good proposal and work experience, could you still be considered for the award? And unfortunately, that is not possible. So I do encourage you to not only read the award requirements, but take a look at the candidate profile. It will be on the right-hand side. It will usually say open to academics or professionals. So if you are a professional, you know, especially make sure you're paying attention to the candidate profile that the award that you're interested in is not open to only academics. So unfortunately, the answer to your question would be no. You definitely want to search for awards that meet your educational and experience background so that you'll be competitive for them. Okay, so just scrolling up, taking a look at some additional questions, and we have 10 minutes left, so I do encourage you to continue to type in any of your questions. Again, my apologies, I'm not able to, because of time, answer any specific questions to your circumstances, but I do encourage you again to reach out to Sub-Saharan Africa at IIE.org. Okay, let's see. So I have a question about who is considered a dependent. A dependent is anyone that would spend more than 80% of their time with you. So a dependent, again, is someone that spends at least 80% of their time with you. Okay. Let's see. What is the difference between an all-discipline award and a discipline-specific award? Sure. Well, the specific discipline awards are specific to that particular discipline. And again, it's really important to read the body of the award, as they will likely go into more specifics about requirements within the discipline, whereas an all-disciplines award It's typically open to all disciplines. However, there are some that may indicate preferences, or upon reading them a little further, they will narrow down certain disciplines that it's limited to. So you definitely want to pay attention to the body of it, but the general consensus is that all discipline awards are open to mostly every discipline. Okay, I'm just scrolling up. Okay, so from my experience and knowledge of the catalog, I have a question about if there are any awards open to those with master's degrees. To my knowledge, there are only two awards that are open to those without terminal degrees, and they're in the disciplines of journalism and I believe mechanical engineering. So there aren't very many opportunities for those without terminal degrees this year in sub-Saharan Africa. But again, I encourage you to reach out to the student program, because anyone without a terminal degree is still eligible to apply for the Fulbright student program. Okay, let's see. So timeline for decisions, perfect. So the application deadline is September 15th. We will be conducting our peer review between October and early December. And peer review is going to be conducted with a panel of your peers that are evaluating your applications. And you'll typically find out before the end of December if your application was selected to move forward in country. If your application was selected to move forward in country, it could be evaluated from embassy staff, prior Fulbrighters that are still in the country. So it's really important in your project statement to maybe avoid jargon, because your application, when it goes in country, it is likely not to be read by someone within your discipline or profession. So you want to make it easy to read for those that aren't familiar. So once it is in country, the final step is going to be our Fulbright Scholarship Board. And typically applicants are notified around the 1st of May, so that's going to be May of 2021, whether or not they were selected for a Fulbright. Okay, so we have about 5 more minutes. I have some more questions to scroll through. Let's see. For the Africa Research Regional Program, so you can select up to 3 countries within sub-Saharan Africa to conduct research in. So I just want to be very clear. It is for research only. You have 2 consecutive years to complete your research, and you can do multiple visits to the countries to conduct your research. And one of the requirements is that you must secure the letters of invitation from each host institution within the country. So that is going to be required. And if you're looking at the award in the catalog, you will not see a list of institutions, because there are so many institutional options. So that's when I refer applicants to the scholar directory. The one country that is not participating in that program is going to be South Africa. So let's say you're interested in Rwanda, maybe Nigeria, and Ghana. So you'll definitely want to, if you don't have any institutions in mind, you'll definitely want to use our scholar directory, filter it out for those countries to at least give you an idea of what some of your institutional opportunities are. Okay. Let's see. Okay. This is a good question. If your application is unsuccessful, can you reapply the following year? And absolutely. Now, while we can't give you exact reasoning as to why your application wasn't selected, we're more than happy to meet with you after the competition to maybe explore if the most appropriate award was selected, and just talking through your project statement if all of the areas that are required were mentioned in your project statement. So we can definitely do that for you. And speaking of project statements, you know, it is very imperative that you are including all of the requirements, and I definitely recommend that everyone take a look at our project statement guidance video, because there are a lot of great tips on how to really address what Fulbright is looking for and how to have a competitive project statement. So we are winding down. I'm going to take about one or two more questions. Okay. So again, I'm seeing a couple of questions about can you apply for more than one. You can only apply for one award. There are, we do have a program, the Africa Regional Research Program, where you can select up to three countries. So if you're looking to go to multiple countries, this is going to be the best award for you. And finally, I have a question about whether or not, how to find out what the teaching expectation is going to be, the teaching load. So there's a possibility under award details, the teaching expectation may be there, whether it's 50-50 or another percentage. If you do not see it there, please do reach out to the institution so that you are well aware of what the expectation is. Because a lot of times you'll find that it's in addition to your teaching and researching, it's curriculum development, advising, working with the faculty within the college. So you definitely want to reach out and find out what the expectation is. So unfortunately, that does conclude our time. But the good news is, again, we have the office hours every Wednesday, again, 11 to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard. And I go through the same types of information for the weekly sessions. You can come to more than one. You're more than welcome to join multiple. Again, we do a website walkthrough. I answer pretty general questions. And if you do find that you need an advising session, we can certainly go that route. But again, I encourage anyone that has any questions to join us for any office hour. They are not recorded, unfortunately, but we hold them every single Wednesday. So I want to say thank you so much again for joining me, and I hope to hear from everyone soon. Have a great day, everyone.